The future may not be clear, but our commitment is. So when you sit with an advisor at Merrill Lynch, we'll put your interests first. Visit ml.com and learn more about Merrill Lynch, an affiliate of Bank of America. Merrill Lynch makes available products and services offered by Merrill Lynch, Pierce Fenner & Smith Incorporated, a registered broker-dealer member, SIPC.
Hyperloop pods. Why the self-proclaimed transportation of the future is running late.
This is Tech News Briefing from the Wall Street Journal.
Hello, welcome. This is the Wall Street Journal's Tech News Briefing. I'm Tanya Bustos, reporting from the newsroom in New York. So let's imagine traveling in the future. Imagine being transported in train-like pods that whisk you through certain low-pressure tubes. We'll call them Hyperloop pods, at nearly the speed of sound. You actually don't have to imagine this concept. Companies like Hyperloop One and others have been on this, and one in particular, Hyperloop One, has been aiming to finally run the first full test of this prototype of these futuristic train-like pods, but it is running into a few roadblocks. How long will we have to wait for the, quote, transportation of the future? Let's get a little bit more from the Wall Street Journal's Georgia Wells, patching in from our San Francisco booth. Hi, Georgia.
Hey.
So last year, this company Hyperloop One said it would perform the first public test before the end of 2016. We are well into 2017. What's been coming into play? What stopped them from getting the job done?
So no one's built a full-scale Hyperloop system before. So the company says that they're learning a lot as they start building it because, like, there's so much you can design on paper, but then when you actually start constructing it, kind of you learn different things along the way and you kind of have to account for that. So the company has, like you said, last year their deadline for this full test was the end of the year, and then they extended it till the end of March, and clearly it's past the end of March. Another thing the company dealt with last year was a high-profile lawsuit between the company's founders, where one founder sued another founder in the company alleging mismanagement and mistreatment. And so the company promoted one of their engineers at that time, and that engineer kind of took over and has been kind of creating a new roadmap.
It's interesting. Elon Musk originally floated this idea back in 2013, I guess it was, you know, the idea of transporting people in low-pressure tubes. How have his tech companies been testing, and what other companies are testing in this field? What's the landscape like, and how does Hyperloop One fit in here?
The main other competitors are, there's a group called Hyperloop Transportation Technologies, and they're taking more of an open source approach where they have a network of experts who will get equity in exchange for their time. Maybe it's more of an academic approach. And also there's the co-founder, Brogan Van Brogan, who sued Hyperloop One, is also creating a competitor. Hyperloop One, however, has raised the most money, performed the most tests. It's kind of out in front at this point.
How big of a setback is this for a company that's been so vocal about its aggressive timetable?
The company claims this is not a huge setback. However, these are the sorts of events that it uses to gin up excitement among investors. It's clearly a very, like, capital-intensive project. Mm-hmm. You know, it's really expensive to build. They've raised $160 million, and they'll at some point likely need to raise more. These events, the company has said, spur interest among investors. And so, you know, it could be that from an engineering perspective, it does make more sense to build it more in piecemeal steps to assess what you're learning along the way. But I think the other thing the company is likely weighing right now is that these more shock and awe type large demonstrations are what draw investors.
We're speaking to the Wall Street Journal's Georgia Wells about Hyperloop One and the concept of Hyperloop pods, the self-dubbed transportation of the future. You're listening to the Wall Street Journal's Tech News Briefing.
Looking for an easy way to advance your career or improve your business? Download an audiobook. At Penguin Random House Audio, we publish best-selling business books, often read by the author. Receive expert advice as you go about your daily routine. Listen to an audiobook as you commute, travel for business, or work out. Visit tryaudiobooks.com/WSJ for a free full download and listening suggestions.
Thank you for listening. So while Hyperloop One doesn't say that this is a setback, you imagine there's got to be a lot of pressure here. Like you said, these tests really aim to fuel interest in this new tech among governments, among potential developers. This really could be huge when and if it happens. You figure a company like Hyperloop One's got to really be feeling the heat.
Yes, a Hyperloop network, they need partners in order to build it. Like, their plan is not to ultimately be the ones creating the concrete and metal, like, pylons and tubes. They want either governments or third-party developers to build those, and then they want to be the ones selling the components. And so, you know, as they're developing this technology, I imagine they're thinking about how to ensure that those groups are sufficiently excited so that they would be signing up to build the networks. You know, they have a lot of interest from governments around the world in the Middle East and Scandinavia. And Hyperloop One got a lot of excitement and attention early on through some of the tests it performed. And as there's, you know, slowdowns and as they're learning stuff, I think it'll be important for them to make sure that they don't lose any of this, the momentum of the excitement from governments and potential partners.
Yeah, I mean, it's definitely highly anticipated, so it'll be interesting to see how and when this finally pans out. Georgia, thanks as always.
Thank you, Tanya.
Thanks again to The Wall Street Journal's Georgia Wells. That will end this edition of The Wall Street Journal's Tech News Briefing for now. From the newsroom in New York City, I'm Tanya Bustos. Thanks for listening.
For more insights, enable The Wall Street Journal skill on any device with Amazon Alexa. Get all of our podcasts, as well as the latest news and market updates. The Wall Street Journal. Listen ambitiously.